is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies.
And I'm Jake, and I am indifferent to Hallmark movies. I think it depends on the movie.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Exciting day. It's the last episode of the week.
Thursday.
It is Thursday. We, you know, it is a weird place to be as three podcasters in America. We're recording this on election day. We have no idea what's happening on Thursday.
We don't.
So we could seem really out of sync with how the rest of the world is reacting right now. But I think that's what you turn to Hallmark movies for. So we're just really blending in. Is that
we're doing
right?
The best we can.
We just have no idea. Hope everyone's doing good over there on Thursday.
Right.
Hope it's going well. What an exciting day today for a lot of different reasons. We're talking about Holly and Ivy.
Got a lot of buzz.
A lot of buzz about it.
Holly and Ivy. That's right.
If you recall, Holly and Ivy was in my bottom three early in the season of the movies I was least excited about. Mm. Did it hold true? We'll find out. But even more exciting is our guest today, Jake, who is the writer, director, producer, of a movie that is coming out tomorrow called Cup of Cheer. It's fantastic. Jake, welcome to the pod.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm a fan of the show and I'm excited to talk about this movie of all movies.
That's right, this movie of all movies. Let's talk about Cup of Cheer real quick. I've seen it. It's so funny. It is a complete spoof on Hallmark movies the entire way through. Lots of laughs to be had. So tell us about the inspiration behind the movie and why you wanted to create something like this that is just a complete wink at the camera for sure.
Well, I'm up here in Canada where almost every Hallmark movie is filmed. And so, of course, everybody that I know in the industry works on these things all the time, and that's really all that they do. And so I was basically, after my first film All About Who You Know came out, I was being told you should do a Hallmark movie, and so I wanted to do not that at all, but the opposite. So that's where Cup of Cheer came from, and it was a lot of fun. And unlike Hallmark movies filmed up here, we didn't film it in June or July. We filmed it in real Canadian winter, so it was like a solid minus 30 every day, and it was quite a different experience.
Wow.
Well, I can tell you this. If you watch Christmas Movie Christmas last year on Up TV and you felt as though it did not go nearly far enough in its send up of TV Christmas movies, the Cup of Cheer is for you. No stone is left unturned. They go for every single joke. It's really, really funny. And this is the movie you're going to get. So for those of you who saw Christmas Movie Christmas and go, oh, we saw, you know, something like this, this is not that movie. And I think, didn't you tell us it's going to be on Tubi for free and it's going to be on Amazon and all the major ones starting tomorrow, correct?
Yes. Yeah. It will be for everybody to see. There's no reason not to see it unless you don't want to. That's a good reason.
It's not a good reason, though. It's a bad reason. I will say this. We have our Facebook group, people who have joined BrambleJamPlus.com. And early, I think it was last month, someone posted the trailer for this movie in the group. And people were talking about how funny it looks. And I am here to tell you it is funny. It is as funny as it looks. Lots of just really great tropes that are just exploited. I do want to know, when you were getting ready to write this movie, did you do a lot of research? Did you watch a lot of these movies to make sure, like, did you have a checklist of tropes that you wanted to hit and all that stuff? Like, how did you kind of get inspired for writing it?
Yeah, it was, we were watching, me and my co-writer Andy Lewis, we just started watching the movies, I guess, to see if we actually wanted to do a real Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, immediately, because obviously I had seen many of these before, but immediately I was like, okay, so there would definitely be a Hallmark movie called Cup of Cheer. It'd be about a struggling hot chocolate cafe, all these things. And then, yeah, as we started to watch more and more and just combine all the different tropes, it just became too funny of an idea to not do. I have to say I watched quite a few of them. And then the first one that I watched since writing it was Holly and Ivy. So, so different.
Really. Yeah. Mm. Different experience for
totally
sure.
Totally different. Yeah. Well, you should watch it. Again, you can watch it for free tomorrow on Tubi. So no reason not to. Super fun. And it'll make you laugh. And I think Holly and Ivy didn't make you laugh. And so really? if you
watch it the wrong way,
yeah, if you watch it the wrong way, for sure. So check it out, watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are diving into Holly and Ivy, the last movie of the weekend. It did originally air on November 1st,
2020.
And it went a little something like this. Melody is moving into a new house in a new city and bumps into a new neighbor named Nina. Nina has two kids named Holly and Ivy. Melody is trying to find a job at a library and is proving to be more difficult than she thought, even though she has an impressive resume, a fantastic degree. And it really is, isn't that just like 2020, that son of a gun? So she's at this hardware store getting some stuff for her house, and she bumps into a guy named Adam. They have a fun little chitter chatter about home makeovers, and he tries to explain, and she's like, I don't need no mansplaining. And so they go on their own way. I think they will talk again soon. One night, Nina comes over to Melody's house, and they have tea, and after the tea, she collapses. What was in the tea? Nothing. She's just under a lot of stress, she says. No big deal. And Melody says, listen, I'd love to help you out around the house and with the kids if you need me to a few days a week. Nina's like, only if I pay you. And she's like, sounds like a good deal because I got no job. She watches the girls one day and they bump into Adam again, and he asks her to get some hot chocolate with him, and they exchange numbers. Yay, Adam. So it turns out that Nina has had lymphoma twice, and she's worried that she's going to have it again based off of the symptoms that she's showing. And she goes and she's just like, wow, I didn't expect that. Kind of taking all that in. She then goes on her first date with Adam, and it is a big hit. They really hit it off. Wonderful time. And he agrees to come to the library to teach the kids how to make sleds, and they'll go on another date, and it's going to be great. So one night, Nina tells Melody that it is back. The lymphoma is back, and she is worried about what will happen to the kids if she passes away. And Melody says, I'll take the kids. And so she starts to go down the path of what it would look like for her to take the kids. And she's gonna jump in. She needs to fix the house. She needs to do all these things, check the boxes, and she starts to go down the list of things she needs to do. But the house needs to be fixed ASAP. And so she turns to Adam, and Adam says, I'll help you. And she's like, okay, you can help me, I guess. So she tells him that she's going to need to get a real job. And he, how you say, overreacts big time about that news. And she's like, okay, I guess this guy's whatever. She gets this good idea to keep her library job dream alive, a bookmobile that brings books to people who can't make it to the library. So she starts trying to figure out how that's going to work. Adam then brings a bunch of people over to her house to help her get the house up to code before the deadline dates, and they do it, woohoo! And then his dad shows up out of nowhere, gives Melody a new van for the bookmobile, and then just fast forward a year, we find out that Nina passed away, and it just happened really abruptly, and the adoption is approved. They all dance together, and Adam shows the kid a ring box, doesn't propose. They do kiss, though, and that, my friends, was Holly and Ivy. That's exactly right.
We did it.
The best.
Phew. Let's take a quick break. I'm just emotionally exhausted just from the synopsis, so let's take a quick break. I will regroup, and we'll dive into the four segments here on Deck the Hallmark.
So November is a month where we usually take a little bit of extra time to be thankful for what we have, thankful for our situation. And during 2020, I think it's even more appropriate that we're thankful for what we've been blessed with. And also remember, there are plenty of people that are not in your boat. Did you know that one out of every five children does not graduate high school because they do not have the assistance they need, they do not have the resources they need, they do not have the money, they do not have the transportation, the mental health counseling, whatever it may be, they don't have it. And with a lot of schools being virtual right now, that problem is starting to become worse. There is a solution, there is a way to help. And that is Communities in Schools. Communities in Schools partners alongside these schools and these kids that desperately need their help. They provide them with the transportation, the mental health counseling, the money, the resources, whatever they need to keep them on the right track, to have that life-changing experience that is high school graduation. If you are thankful of how blessed you are, what better way to give other kids the same opportunity to be blessed and thankful as well than to give to Communities in Schools. The quickest way to do that is go to deckthehallmark.com/joy. That's deckthehallmark.com/joy. You can help change a kid's life today.
That was all I needed. That was all I needed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to dive into this movie.
Pyah!
Pyah! We're going to take the holly. We're going to take the ivy.
We're going to take the cancer. We're going to go. Nope.
Okay. Let's dive into this movie with the first of four segments. The first one being the hot take. It is where we should. I didn't expect it from you.
No, I really wanted to add something spicy.
You just
to
tried
this
to say it like him.
No, the hot take. No, I said how I would normally say
okay.
it.
Okay.
I will pan on this one. The hot take. Pan, I do start with you because no one is hotter with his takes.
Yeah, true.
Meaning your takes are usually just subpar, but you're hot while you do it. What do you think about this movie, pal?
Yeah. So, listen, there's a movie here that is, they rush things so much at the end, I feel like it hurts the movie. It's to its detriment that they try to wrap things up. We watch 40 of these, so it's not like I'm advocating for a longer movie by any stretch of the imagination, but this movie would definitely benefit from that. That said, the performances are really good. This movie is really fun to watch for me. I enjoyed it. It was sad. It was emotionally draining. I don't know if I would necessarily even want to watch it again, but it was a really, man, it was good. It's a good Hallmark flick. We haven't seen one of these like really big tearjerkers in a while. And they just really go for it. I think that the pacing is a little off, but man, listen, the kids are adorable. Yeah. You have a librarian. We don't see a lot of that. You have a terminal illness that literally the person dies in. We don't see that. I mean, this movie does not pull punches in that regard. I did like the movie. I don't know if I want to necessarily go out and watch the movie again, but man, it's good.
Yeah. Jake, what'd you think?
I just wasn't prepared. You guys didn't warn me. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know. I've heard a lot about how Hallmark movies are really different this year. You guys can confirm that, because it's the only one that I've seen.
Can
so
confirm,
far.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, this just really shook up the formula so much. There was no big city. That was really shocking. There was two women being friends. Never seen that before. How is that allowed? There was a lot of things that I just had no idea would happen. And that made it interesting for sure. I like when a movie does something different. So that's my hot take, is that it was different and it was not bad.
Yeah,
different and not bad. This is what I will say. I cried a good bit during this movie. So if that's what it was going out for, it delivered 100% in that regard. The other thing I do want to say that I think this movie, the messaging of this movie hit, was that all of us as humans can play a role in the foster care and adoption community. So whether you are like a Melody who has a house and you want to fill it with kids, wonderful. Or you're an Adam who can get a group of people together to go surround this person and to encourage them and to help them, you're needed as well. And so for that reason, the movie nailed that messaging. It inspired me to continue to do more for kids that need help. So that part of it was fantastic. The reason why this movie was on my the list of movies I was the most concerned about is because it just seemed like it was going to be super sad, which it was. And so for somebody who turns to these movies to not be super sad because there's enough super sadness in the world. Like I am, and I want to say this, I'm fine with a sad movie. I can watch them, but I don't turn to Hallmark for the sad movies. So this is what I'll say. The Hallmark did it well. Obviously, I cried a lot and it inspired me. But is it what I turn on the TV at Christmas time and turn it to Hallmark or Hallmark Movies and Mysteries? The answer for that would be no. There's a place for the movie. I don't know if it's necessarily, it's just the way that my mind works. You know, the movie's great. It has lots of great things to it. But for me, in what I'm looking for, it didn't deliver. But I loved the two leads. I thought they had a really great back and forth when they were on camera together. And so I have a lot of positive things to say about it. It's just for me and what I'm looking for the holiday season when I turn on these movies and have it on in the background all season. Mm-hmm. I do it because I want to have the holly and the jollies. And this gave me the holly and the ivy. So what can you do?
I would disagree with you, Panda, in one respect. I am advocating for a longer movie here. I don't care if Hallmark.
I'm saying it would behoove it though. Like
you said,
it
you're not advocating for a longer movie.
I'm saying I normally would not want a longer movie, but what I meant to say was, in this case, it needed it.
This movie, it desperately needs to be 2 hours.
Yes,
desperately, and I cannot. If makers of Holly and Ivy, if you're listening somehow, maybe you do. I wanted to love this movie so, so much. And there is so much good that you're trying to do with this movie. Last year, there was a movie called The Christmas Town with Candace Cameron Bure. It was a borderline slap in the face to the foster care and adoption process. It was a joke. We laughed about it because it was funny. This movie started out and I was like, oh my gosh, they've just met each other. And she's going to adopt these kids. That's terrible. And then it proceeds to show you that this process takes a long time. And even though they skirt around some things, the process does take a long time. It also shows you that it takes a community of people willing to think about someone other than themselves. Brian, you said it so well. I'm a foster parent. I'm an adoptive parent through DSS. I ask people on a regular basis, what are you doing? That does not mean go foster a kid necessarily, but what are you doing? What are you giving of your time, your money, your resources to make someone else's life better? And this movie champions those ideas. And so I cannot go any further without saying I appreciate this movie more than any other Hallmark movie I've watched. Unfortunately, the last 10 minutes and how quick it is indicative of the entire movie. That they are rushing in this movie. The camera cuts are quick. They're constantly just going like, we've got this sentimental story to tell and we've got to go, go, go. And so much is lost in the translation of that. The two children, I'm not sure if Holly and Ivy are bad actors or they don't get a chance to breathe. I would love to think that it's the second of those things. They don't get a chance to breathe. They literally have to read their lines of dialogue and we got to keep moving forward because there's the renovation of the house and there's the friendship of these two women and there's the romantic relationship and there's these kids and there's cancer and there's blah, blah, blah. And it's 83 minutes and it's not enough time to do any of it. And so all of it suffers tremendously, which is very, very unfortunate because I think that there's a lot good in this movie. You have both romantic leads choose to take a stopgap job to pursue their dream. I'll say it one more time. Both romantic leads do not jump off the deep end into Dreamville to take the job they've always wanted the whole life or try to pursue it. That's what Hallmark would do. Both of these people say, you know what? I've got to do something in the short term that I don't like in order to make my dream possible. That never happens in a Hallmark movie. So whoever's writing this movie, and I think they helped write 12th Day to Christmas, whoever's doing this, please keep trying. But it just needed 40 more minutes to flesh out all these characters. The lead, Janelle Parrish, I believe, she was in the Netflix movie To All the Boys I Loved Before, which is a tween teen like YA movie, is really, really solid. The performances are there. The story is there. It just is at 83 minutes. It suffers from its own weight so much that it's unfortunate. And I have really struggled as to where to put this movie.
Sure.
Because waking up this morning, knowing I got to think about this, I think it's still second. I think I still have it second overall. Oh, okay. Deliver by Christmas did some very great things with some dark themes. Yeah. I just feel like the degree of the difficulty of this movie is the highest we've seen, and I feel like the performances are good, but there's so much about it that falls by the wayside, and that's unfortunate. And so I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to put it. It's definitely a top. I think it's definitely a top three for me right now, just because I appreciate the fact that Hallmark is letting this, like, just compare this movie to sure. that garbage of Christmastown last
no
year.
No doubt.
You know, if this can inspire somebody to go and help people in need, then God bless them. Like, yeah. fantastic.
No doubt. A couple of things just to piggybacking off what you said, because I think we are conditioned, or I'm conditioned as a Hallmark Christmas movie fan, to immediately get emotionally invested in the love storyline. And it's and that, I think, hurt this movie. Not that storyline didn't matter, because it did, but I it kind of pulled me back from Holly and Ivy, which is the name of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't get to be
the love story become, is probably tertiary,
right? But I just kept wanting. I wanted to get to the Adam, yeah. because that's how I'm conditioned, and that was a detriment. And to your point, if it inspired people, wonderful. If you were like me and you watch this movie and you're moved at all, at least consider, what can I do? What are the next steps? Because I think it's important. I think the movie did a great job.
The leading actor, the male, I thought,
he's great.
Knowing that he's the third most important storyline, like, he nailed it. He didn't try to, like, sure. outstage anyone. And I've got a boat full of Wait What's.
It's hard as a viewer, though. You know? It's hard as a viewer, for sure.
But it is. There's a lot happening here, and they try to do service to all of it. And in retrospect, they probably don't really do service to any of it, and that, like, in the way that it deserves. And that's unfortunate, because I think you could make this movie. I was reminded of The Last Valentine, the movie we watched, where Sean, what's his name, who looks like old Tom Cruise, and his two brothers are in that house they're renovating, and they got the girl, and they're blah, you know, and she won't talk. I was reminded of that movie.
Christmas with Holly.
Called The Lost. Nope, no, The Lost Valentine's the one with Betty White. My bad. Christmas with Holly. Yeah.
Katrina Law was in it.
Yeah. You know, Katrina, all the whole movies she's done. Yeah.
Jake, I do look forward to Cup of Cheer 2, where you do mock cancer. So yeah, I look forward to that. I know you're going to work that angle in there, and I'm excited to see how you do it. It's going to be really good. It's time for All the Feels. Part of the show, we talk about what this movie gives us feels. Panda?
Man, what doesn't give you feels in this movie? Yeah. It's just, I mean, they really are swinging for the fences every single time. But you know what worked for me was the parents, Adam's parents, when they finally kind of come around and they give her the bookmobile. That works. Yeah. I know it's low-hanging fruit, but it just, like, did I tear up? Guys, I'm going to be honest, I cried. Like, full on, like, there was some whimpers.
Wow.
I whimpered.
We have a
full
clip.
Full on we have a clip for sure.
We recorded Panda whimpering?
Yeah, it's the panda mic.
Panda mic. Yeah.
Jake, any feels for you?
You know, dead moms and all that. That's sad. Totally agree. cancer, all that, not good. But always in movies, what makes me the most sad is anything involving pets or dogs. Thankfully, the dog didn't die. Thank God. But the dog grew up at the end, and I knew that was going to happen. As soon as I saw a little puppy, knew they were going to have to cut back to the dog. So that was really nice. Yeah. Not like a sad, but like, oh, nice dog.
Time has passed.
Big dog. Yeah. It was a cute big dog, too. A couple of things. One, I noticed the score in this movie. The music that was behind this movie was fantastic. It was perfect for this movie. I don't know who scored it. I don't know who did the music for this movie. But just know that I noticed it and I loved it. There was quite a few scenes where I noticed the music in a good way, which doesn't always happen with Hallmark movies. The music was on, like, just on the head of the nose.
You got it.
Want to try it?
On the nose.
How I'm saying it, you did the opposite. Yeah. You nailed it.
It's head of the nail.
Head of the nail. Yeah. What's on the nose?
Just on the nose. That's the whole saying.
Head of the nose. And last but not least, I am not somebody, you hand me wood, I say, what? What do I do with it? And so I have always wanted to, and I think this is something that I'm going to do when I'm older, you know, like in my 30s. When I'm old, I want to have a wood thing, and I want to learn how to make
a wood shop,
and I want
to
learn
a great story.
And I want to learn how to build things with wood. I do want to do that. And what inspired me even more was his dope wood shop, man. That thing was awesome. The lights, it was fantastic. And so it is something that I've always wanted to learn how to do. I don't know how to even start with that. And so one day I hope that I will. But what have inspired me even more is his wood shop. It's fantastic. Hit the nail on the head.
You nailed it. You nailed it that time.
Thank you. You hit right on the nose.
You did it on the nose. I would say my feels... Just like I think my hot take is something that I appreciate the attempts, although I'm not sure it actually landed as well as it really could have, was when they give her the elf. I feel like that idea of family and belonging and what that means and how that transcends bloodline and genetics is so, so terribly important. And I felt that on a very personal level. And so I think it was shortchanged because it was one conversation where she was like, I was fostered for 5 years. And then, you know, I never really had a home again. But I appreciate what they're trying to do.
It didn't work for me because I just don't like elves. I know that's a weird thing to dislike, but they give me the heebie-jeebies.
But the story behind it didn't move.
No, the story was great, but it's just the fact that it was an elf. Like, I saw the elf, and I'm like, the elf's kind of icky. It scares me.
Yeah. When she was the
so great, I love the idea behind it, but elves are just...
When she, there's that dusty mantle, and she puts those elves up on the mantle, I was like, what is she doing? Wipe the mantle. Just, like, I am not a clean freak, but... Have you lost your, in this economy, like what are you doing right now?
That's not what we need. Krampus?
We don't need it. Hey, what we do need is one more break because we're going to dive into the Weight Watch. We'll take a quick breather. We'll be back here on the Hallmark. We're back, everybody, and it's time for the Wait What's, the part of the show where we talk about one of this movie made us go, wait, what? Panda?
I am a little surprised by the fact that she keeps walking into these random libraries with her resume and going to apparently the first person she sees and making the case for her being hired. A little concerned, maybe that's why you're not getting a job.
And they're always the boss somehow.
We are in dire straits.
Have I been doing it wrong this whole time? I'm just walking in the library.
I think we've all been doing. That's how I got the job here at Deck the Hallmark, right, which was weird. But it is what it is. So here's the thing. I do not want to diminish the desperation of a parent who is going through terminal illness and maybe the desperation you feel. That said, my biggest weight what is they move from, hey, we're neighbors to, hey, take my children. Fast. I mean, it is like next level quick, even for like, like, they listen, guys, to, like do a time lapse, do something. But I mean,
and they try to pull their punch there because she says it out loud and she goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that out loud.
Right.
And they have a serious talk about it. But there's, I think my biggest problem with the movie is that they have to get to this gimmick of 5 days to home inspection.
Yes.
And they can't get around that 5 days to home inspection thing. And that is the biggest problem with the whole process, in my opinion.
Right.
And they have to do this bit where it's like, I met you 5 days. I just met you. This is crazy. I'll take your baby. That's what I'll do. Like, I just think that's really tough.
I get why they have to do it. And again, within the time constraints, they do, I think, an okay job to do. But it is a little, as a parent, disconcerting to see. It was so strange. But the guy who owns a hardware shop at one point says, Mr. Yeager, that's Adam's dad, is hard to disappoint if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they meant.
I don't know what.
Hard to disappoint?
If you know what I mean.
I miss that.
No.
You can do a lot of terrible things, but you cannot disappoint Mr.
Yeager. I was disappointed.
I see what they're saying. They're saying that if you disappoint him, you're in for it. That's really hard. That's not good. Okay, that makes sense.
But it's just such a... And,
But here's the situation though. This is why it's not that. They were talking about how easily he is disappointed. The context of that line doesn't make sense because they're talking about how easily this guy is disappointed. He says it's hard to disappoint if you know what I mean. And it felt like he was trying to be sarcastic, but it played weird.
I read it now. It's like that's the that what happens after you disappoint him.
Right. It was the way he said that delivered the line was also a really weird thing. Finally, she buys a lot of cookies and hot chocolate for somebody who does not have a job. I think Dave Ramsey is concerned she needs to get on the envelope system stat.
Yeah, her ability to budget her time and money is not there. And that's a concern.
For 5 days, sled. Let's roll on the sled. Let's do it. Oh,
that sled scene. That sled scene. Boy. Jake, what you got?
I have a list, all right? The first one, right off the bat, I didn't think that Holly spoke. I didn't think, like, I don't know if they filmed. Do you know when they filmed this? That's one of my big questions.
It was during COVID.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So that might explain a lot of the issues in the editing and the fact that they had no time. But I thought this was just like someone's kid that was already in one of the actress's bubbles, and that's why they included her. But then she ended up speaking like 20 minutes into the movie. But for the first bit, I don't think she said a word, which was really weird. I always loved the exposition. Adam was explaining to his mom, like, you know how I love building things and you love cars. And this is what we both do. Also, she microwaved tea that really, but I guess she spends all her money on hot chocolate and cookies. She can't afford a kettle.
No, right. I wrote down. I just, who does that? Yeah, who microwaves tea?
Just for yourself and you tell no one.
Yes. That's like, I don't want to wait. I'll power through it. You don't microwave tea for someone else.
Yeah.
Right, especially someone who has cancer. That's just extra bad.
I don't. Yeah. Well, she didn't. Thank God she didn't know at the time. Thank God.
Yeah. I loved when Adam said, "I can send you some website links." Spoken like a true person, 20 something.
Let's send you some website links.
And then one of my favorites was just because of their limitations to filming. They went to the concert together, just so that he could say he can't go to the concert.
Yep.
He walked her all the way there and then said, I can't come. And then also they ended up just watching creepily from behind a tree, I guess, to get away from the fact that they can't show a bunch of people in the audience.
Yeah.
Standing behind a tree, watching some kids sing, which was really weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Those were my big ones. There were some little ones, but
the mom is Nina, correct? Yes. Nina says they have this thing where she does a dance with her kids.
Yep.
And it's, you know, not for me, but they do it.
Yep.
And she says the dance used to have more break dancing. And what? The dance used to have more break dancing? I guess
back when she was younger. I don't know.
But the kids aren't that old. At what point were the kids also in on the break dancing? Or was it just like, go, mom, go. Go. It just made me laugh. It used to have more breakdancing. So this is how when I knew that Adam's dad was the worst dad. There's lots of things that happen that make him the worst dad.
I liked him.
He's very hard nosed, and then he comes around and becomes a softy. Like it was a weird. It's a weird
turnabout transition, for sure.
He says this line.
Right after he breaks into the woman's house.
He says, "You don't want to sell cars." Okay, I've tried to make peace with that. I don't know. Come on, Dad. Like,
shoot for the stars, buddy. Sell cars.
You don't want to sell cars. Adam gets very upset when she says these two things. I'm going to adopt these kids, and because of that, I need to get a real job. And he's like, well, what about my furniture dream that you told me? It's not the same, Adam.
No.
Adam,
no.
You're not adopting children.
No.
That's why she's getting a real job. Any functioning adult would be like, you know what? Maybe don't try to get the library job.
Trying to fabricate a crisis. Why not just have him say, this is a lot. I need a minute.
Yeah.
We just met a few weeks ago. I'm going to need a minute to process you adopting two girls. I'm going to need a second.
Yeah.
Like, why have, you don't have to add anything to that.
Yes. Because here's the thing. If you're a single dude into this single girl and this single girl does tell you, hey, I'm thinking about adopting two girls. That's enough of a conflict. Like as a guy, you hear that and you go, well, I need to make sure that I still want to pursue this. Like that's a brand new thing that we're adding on to this. Like your wood hobby had nothing to do with it, Adam. I could not believe that's what he was getting upset about. I can't tell you why. Going to the concert, I can't tell you why. But the four kids standing on that stage,
unsettling.
I was so uncomfortable watching them doing these things with their hands. I was so uncomfortable by their whole thing.
And the little boy is the little boy, Justin Bieber, and yeah. I'm all in.
The four tween carolers that were hip thrusting and singing songs. Yeah. And they all kind of did a little dip.
They were doing a lot of moving, and I was just unstable. It was unsettling, I think would be the word. And this is just my big, why doesn't Nina just give her the house that she owns? If this whole thing is about getting this house all together in this
house,
I'll give you the house. Yeah. You're taking my kids.
Unless there's still a big mortgage on the house and she's got to sell the house in order to break even.
That's possible. That's possible. Yeah. Maybe that's more of a what the hallmark. Like what, what happened with her house after she passed away?
Yeah.
You know, like that's for me, it was just such a rigmarole, like trying to figure out the house when I don't know. I have a house.
Two adults, two houses, one adult, one house.
Yes. I would have at least appreciated that conversation.
Yeah. Damn. So let's go back to the tween carolers. I mean, I think they range like age 6 to 15 or something.
It is quite the group.
But there are four of them and they're singing, and she is kind of watching from behind a tree. And this owner of this library, whoever the head librarian, whoever, comes up and she's like, aren't the musicians wonderful? They're my grandkids. No one has any instrument on stage. Mm-mm. None of those people are musicians. Mm-mm. They're not.
Singers are musicians.
How do we know? Those four, you would call those four kids musicians.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
But a grandma might.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, aren't my grandkids singing wonderful? So I need to say.
Yeah, that's what I
Hey, there saying. Are, and I Googled it. I did not use the spider search, which we'll get to in a second. But the Google told me that there are 14,000 people that live in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Yet they have at least four libraries.
There's a lot of libraries.
That is uncanny. The amount of library coverage, if we're doing cutbacks, I've got one way to cut back. Three libraries. You're out of here. You just need one library. That's all you need. How are there four libraries in this tiny town in Wisconsin? Adam and his mom make this big deal about making the door on the gingerbread house. And she goes, don't make the door. I'm coming right back. And he breaks a candy cane off and takes the hook of the candy cane and starts to put it where the door would be. What's his plan there?
I think the plan, right? It's
an uneven hook.
I think you take the rest of it and then you bring it around. They didn't finish the craft,
but
Dan.
He just puts it up there.
Yeah, you put it up, and then the part that you rip off, you then bring it down from the hook, and it makes a rounded door.
But there's, Dan's point is, it's not ever.
It's not ever going to round.
It can't round perfectly.
Take it to the tape. Look at it. It would be.
I thought about the same thing. That said, I was thinking he's a crafty boy. Maybe he can make it right.
For a guy that loves to woodwork, this guy has got just like an uneven broken arch and he's like eyeballing.
Okay,
like,
another solution. He was going to use with the break and made it sharp. He was going to cut the door out like a laser.
That's what it is. I admire Hallmark's commitment to not showing a lady collapsing. look, I get it. We're on thin ice here, but she is sick. She's going to die. The fact that we can talk about those things in this movie and not just show her fall to the ground, but instead hear loudly, what are we, is it a haunted house? Like, why in the world can we not watch this woman collapse? Like, that is not going to break. It's not going to kill your TVG, Hallmark. Like, just watch her collapse, for crying out loud. I don't understand it. Why isn't anyone in the courtroom at the adoption? For the love. This is a very exciting moment for everyone involved. You are allowed to invite, depending on the size of the courtroom, 15 to 20 family and friends. My entire family was there when I adopted my boys. We didn't have any room. We had too many people there. The fact that they're there by themselves makes that scene very, very, very weird.
Yeah.
Not as weird as Googling library science degree jobs, though. you're not qualified to do anything. If you have a master's in library science and your instinct is to go, man, I wonder what, I don't know. Maybe I'll Google library science degree jobs. No one's posting a job like that. Like, come on, be better. And then lastly, I've got a lot more, but I'll save them. How many keys does it take to operate a Sprinter van? Because she gets four. They hand her four keys for one automobile. And I just got to know, what is there another car? Are those backup keys? Are there compartments? I don't know what's going on.
Maybe
there.
Maybe there's a key for the back, key for both sides.
And a key for the ignition. So this isn't 2020, it's 20. It's just 2000.
It's
where there's a different key for the key trunk and the
two ignition.
Well, I mean,
No.
Maybe that's why they wanted to get rid of the van.
Yeah.
Because nobody was buying it. It needs too many
keys. That's right. It's a brand new van with four key different
I'm interested
keys.
In this van. What can you tell about it? Well, so it's fantastic, but
you need to tell me four if keys. You want to open the right door, there's a key. If you want to open the left door, different key.
But here's the deal. If people are trying to get the books.
I wouldn't buy that van.
I mean, if there's a rush on the books, you want to make sure that just anyone's reaching in and grabbing
they
them.
They went right, but I had left. Close call.
That's how it works in my mind.
That's the bookmobile for you, though, man. It's a monster of its own for sure. Let's start with the Hallmark Spot Show. We talk about the things that we still want to know about, the questions we still have that we would love some answers to. Panda,
I hate to bring it up again, but we got to go back to the concert.
yeah.
No. Kids, for sure. We haven't exhausted this well of just.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas. What is this concert? Like, where are they performing? It's in the middle of a park, correct?
Are they on a stump?
Like, are they on a stump?
What is happening?
What is, like, who is, what? No one's there. Has there been permission given for these kids? Is this impromptu? Was there a plan? It makes it sound like this was a planned event that, like, there was planned to be a large turnout. How is this something that's being public?
Can you imagine
group of kids famous, like, locally? I want to know, because there was apparently he makes this, like, hey, we should go to the concert. Like, this is an established thing that people do in the town, is watch these four kids sing.
Can you imagine if you were going to go on a date and your date says, I got some tickets to this concert. This banging concert.
And you show up and it's those four kids popping and locking.
I would leave too, yeah. And then,
They just leave you there.
I have got to know more about that.
There
situation.
Used to be more breakdancing, is what I've
that's
heard.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Jake, what are you still wondering about?
Mostly how an unemployed 27-year-old library science graduate can buy a house.
Yeah.
In
this economy. And forget about even getting the neighbor's house. She already bought her own house.
She said she saved, like, she does make a comment about saving up. Like, she said, I don't know how she saved up. I don't know what she saved up.
Oh, it's grad students. We can. But
yeah. When you have a grad degree, you usually got all kinds of money, man. You don't spend any on loans.
The interest on $0.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It adds up, Jake.
Do we know what it was about that area that made her want
to
go there?
There was something about the house. She wanted to redo this old big house. I don't know exactly.
But didn't she say something about the jobs, too, that it was actually like there was.
Dude, I'm just telling you, this movie could have served to be 40 minutes longer, and it would be number one. Because it just moves too quickly, and they just don't do anything justice.
There is a woman in the library that she eventually volunteers at. She has, I think, two lines in this movie. But one of them is, it's free. She says, it's free help, Patricia, and you need it. And then she just walks off screen. Do you remember this lady?
Yes, I do.
I have a theory she is an angel.
Oh, boy.
And I'm here for it because she has no purpose in this movie. She just says, it's free help, Patricia. You could use it while walking off screen.
It's a real novel holiday situation.
It is a real angels in the, there's angels in the outfield.
In the library.
I think she's an angel, and that's just my theory. Wow. And I'm hopeful that I'm not alone in this.
I remember feeling like the line was very out of place. So you could be right. Who knows?
Thank you.
I do need to know just schedule-wise about this home inspection on December 28th. I feel like there's a few things you need to know. First of all, the home inspections are never scheduled that quick. DSS couldn't move that quick if their life depended on it, one, and that's why they need your help. Two, So it's December 23rd, and she has months of work to do. I mean, there are gaping holes in this house. And, you know, so he's going to get a crew to come over and help. And, yeah, they go sledding first, which I think is a little bit of a mishap and could definitely be considered a wait what. But when you think about the fact that after the 23rd is Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, you really only have like 2.5 days. Sledding seems like the worst thing you could do at this point. I just want to know the division of labor over those 2.5 days to make this thing happen. I know they worked on Christmas Eve. I know they did. They can't work the day of the inspection. So 26th, 27th, and Christmas Eve, I want to know how they got it done. Looking at that house before and after, with what was it, maybe 8 people that were going to work, I don't think 80 people could do that in 2.5 days. I want to know how they did it. I want to know what their secret was. I want to know the favors they called in.
Dan, I was under the impression they were done on the 24th.
They did it all in one day.
They did it. Remember, they did a walkthrough. Well. Yeah. They did a walkthrough, and the parents were there, and they said, you got a gift for you.
One gift before Christmas. You're 100% right. So they did all of this in 6 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the power of a montage.
And you know what else?
It's the power of the montage.
I take it back. They did. They could have gone sledding, clearly.
Should have gone sledding again. Yeah. It was still sunny out.
Well, they had Jack Ace on the hammer.
Jack Ace. He gets it done. What a Jack Ace.
Before sunset, right? So that was like, they must have got it done before 6 p.m.
Yes. Yeah, in Wisconsin.
They managed to go sledding, do everything, and still have time for another sled.
Right.
If they wanted to. And I think that.
And they should have.
It's impressive.
Listen, when someone comes with a handmade sled, you sled.
Always.
Always. That is a rule of life. That's a rule of life.
Rule of life.
Handmade sled. Sledder dad. That's the rule. I'm not a fan of the lingo personally.
You don't make it up.
I don't make it up. That's exactly right. Guys, we did it. Congratulations. Yay. Jake, thank you so much for joining us. We're all so excited to check out Cup of Cheer tomorrow. It is out. How does it feel? Release day. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels like it's been Christmas all year for me, because it has been. I've been listening to Christmas music nonstop, editing this thing. I'm tired. No, I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. I hope everybody checks it out and lets you know on the social medias how much they enjoyed and share it with people.
Yeah, please, if you tweet or whatever, hashtag Cup of Cheer, would love to know if you liked it and tell your friends to watch it. That'd be amazing.
Absolutely. Before we leave, it is time for the Double Decker of the Week. It's the part of the show where where we do the deep dive of the people who have signed up for Bramble Jam Plus and kind of get a feel for their story, what they're up to. And Panda, you do that deep dive, and it is, I don't know, people have inquired about how you do it, and I just don't even know what to say.
It's one part magic.
There's an algorithm.
And a little bit of an algorithm.
Yeah. A little bit of an algorithm. Dan, who do we have today?
Julia Nicewander and Emily Hansen. Julia Nicewander, Emily Hansen.
Yeah, Julia and Emily.
Julia.
Julia.
Julia
and Emily.
And you did the deep.
And so as they're families, friends, family friends, both sides, big friends, big families. And
when you're here, you're family.
And you get it, Dan. And so one of the great things about it is they sent me that they're all about family traditions. And that's how they kind of connected. They connected over their mutual love of family tradition. And I wanted to share that tradition with us because I think it's something that we could all do. Every year, the day before Thanksgiving, their families get together and they share stories around yams, and they call it Yamly Matters.
Man, that was a lot to get to Yamly Matters.
Oh, but it was worth it. Yamly Matters. So they just share stories.
And the stories are not about yams. They're just around yams.
So can you give me an example of a story around a yam?
Yeah. So Julia has a cat named Pickles. And Pickles the cat, 1 year, chased a little bird, and the bird got away. Pickles ran straight into a fence. They shared that, laughs abounded. It was great.
And the yams are just sitting around.
Well, they eat a yam. What do you do with your yams?
But when you say around yams,
they're all
just eating yams
and talking. It's a yam fest out there.
It's a real yam
fest. Jake, you're shaking your head as if you've been invited before.
Friday night for me. I totally understand.
Yeah. He gets it.
That's the only way. I'm eating a yam right now.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. It's traveled up to Canada, and that's how you know it's a success. Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. It's a spinoff.
It's a It's a candy yam.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go.
That took too long.
We got there, but we got there eventually. We didn't give up. And I think that's the true lesson. Throw out everything we've said so far about things you should do. You should just be motivated by what we just did. Because it was impressive. We didn't give up. Don't give up. Let's do this. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. 4 episodes, 4 days. We're going to take a breather. We will be back next week with 4 more movies. Yeah. Can you believe it? It's going to be a lot of fun. Watch Cup of Cheer this weekend. You won't regret it. And until next week, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to bramblejampodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam podcast ad-free, go to bramblejamplus.com.